It's Boomer and Geo. Mornings on The Fan, 101.9 FM.
My job is to try to get us to a championship. That's all I care about. Because remember, when they fired Tibbs, what they said in their PR statement that they put out, and that was, we're all about championships, and I'm paraphrasing. We want to win a championship, and the reason we essentially fired the coach is we don't think he can get us there.
Listen to Boomer and Geo on demand on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay. Do appreciate the assistance. It's just when somebody brings a stat to the show, I want to know where it came from. It's apparently came from Al Karsten.
I found this from Next Gen Stats.
Okay.
And it lists the top three quarterbacks. Well, it has all the quarterbacks listed for time to throw. It said Justin Fields was number one, 3.53. Then Jalen Hurts, 3.17. Then Jared Goff at 3.09.
It certainly does help to know where it came from. Interesting. He also ranked third last year in time to throw. So what does that mean?
I wonder does it change at all? Like if it literally is the time that the ball is snapped to, and then the time that you throw the ball, if you're under duress, are you adding to that time because you're scrambling to try to buy more time?
I don't know.
Because he was pressured a ton.
I think you literally are talking about to the time the ball leaves your hand.
Yeah.
And he's not going to create a lot of extra time.
No, but if he's forced out of the pocket earlier, like, I don't know. It sounds like we're making excuses for it, but if you think Jared Goff had time to throw, I guess, go ahead.
I would disagree, but...
Yeah, I mean, but based on this number, it says he was third in the league with time to throw. It didn't look that way.
Well, and the other thing is, and that's one of the reasons why I asked him, here's one thing that it did look like. It did look like they had problems pushing the ball downfield. And he said that was a point of emphasis with their defense. And dinking and dunking all the way down the field can be fine, unless you're behind and you need to do things in a bit of a hurry. I mean, there is something to be said for taking what the defense gives you, but if the defense was giving you the underneath stuff and really taking away anything deep, because there weren't a lot of deep shots. 248-539-9797. Wait a sec. Who had the most time?
Justin Fields.
Where's Jordan Love rank on this list? Who's only pressured 8 times the whole game?
Jordan Love was 2.84. It's probably, it looks like 11th or so. But he was delivering the ball early and on time.
Would anyone think that Jared Goff had more time to throw than Jordan Love in that game?
No. I'm telling you, it's part of it is because if the pass rush is coming in on you, you got to take off and run and move quickly. Plus, everything he did was a check down, basically. So you're looking option one out there, option two not. I got to throw here.
Interesting. I'd like to know more about the methodology, but that Kang, would you buy that Goff had more time to throw than Jordan Love?
In games I've watched,
no. Right?
But I mean, I don't know what they use for their formula. Is this almost like a PFF thing? You know, like you said, Gator. How do we
next gen stats?
Yeah, like when you run around for like when Lamar Jackson is running for his life Sunday night, right? Does that all count as time to throw because he was able to make all that extra time before he released the ball? There was a point where he was 19 yards behind the line of scrimmage. He didn't end up throwing it. He ended up rushing it, but that play took forever.
He was 2.7, which was far down, almost like bottom third, the start of bottom third.
All right, let's move on. Let's go to Joe in Flint. Hi, Joe.
Hi, just a quick question, and I know that this is kind of an old example, but the statistic on making the playoffs at 0-2 is an old statistic. Are the 93 Cowboys went 0-2 and won the Super Bowl. Are our Lions as good as that team, better or not as good?
I don't know if I want to compare teams that are 30 years apart from each other.
Yeah.
The game has completely changed.
I mean, I think the Lions are a really, really good football team. Had a terrible game, but that
Troy Aikman wasn't throwing for 4,000 yards.
Yeah,
different
styles of football.
3,000 yards.
Anyway, the point is what?
I'm just looking for some silver lining here that even if we go 0-2, we can still come back and and get the playoffs and win.
Well, they can.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think I need precedent to believe that. I mean, do you believe it, Joe?
Yeah, I really don't put a lot of credence in one loss or two losses. Teams get hot, other teams get cold.
It's happened three times in the history of the game, according to a quick Google search. Dallas in 93, New England in 2001, and the Giants in 2007. Last year, the Philadelphia Eagles were 2-2, and they won the Super Bowl. I mean, you don't want to get off to a slow start. But look, hold on. Do you think the Lions are going to beat the Bears Sunday?
I do.
I do, too.
It's Boomer and Geo. Mornings on The Fan, 101.9 FM.
My job is to try to get us to a championship. That's all I care about. Because remember, when they fired Tibbs, what they said in their PR statement that they put out, and that was, we're all about championships, and I'm paraphrasing. We want to win a championship, and the reason we essentially fired the coach is we don't think he can get us there.
Listen to Boomer and Geo on demand on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I do too. I mean, we can talk about what happens if they lose.
I'd rather talk about it after it happens.
Yeah.
If it happens.
Robert on a cell. You're on 97.1 The Ticket. Hi, Robert.
Good afternoon, guys. I love the show.
Thank you.
Just wanted to say the whole mobile quarterback thing is so frustrating. And like you said, like if you say Goff can't win it, so Goff against the field. Yeah, anybody would bet on that, right? But I will say
it's
this.
A very safe position to have.
Very safe position. And I would just look at like some recent examples, Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen, if you want to go back a little further, Steve McNair, Randall Cunningham, Michael Vick. Last time I checked, they do not have a Super Bowl title on their trophy case. And so is Goff a dying breed? I think probably without a doubt. And a lot of that is predicated on you can only coach and develop what the college game gives you. And I think the college game, more so than ever, is a mobile quarterback-oriented offense. If I could just say one other thing, too, is as far as the trick plays and creativity, none of that's going to work if Ratledge pivots to the left and a guy comes right up the gut. Like, and I don't believe the whole time-to-throw thing. Like, especially, like, yeah, time-to-throw, but do you have a clean pocket? Like, and I don't think Goff had a clean pocket primarily most of the day, so he was having to do the check down. And when they got to the red zone, because the O-line couldn't impose their will upon him, they came up empty in the red zone. I think it's really as simple as the O-line not being able to do anything.
I think you're right. I think we spent way too much time worrying about this one statistic after 1 week of football. I mean, what does the eyeball test tell you? The eyeball test tells you that the offensive line wasn't good enough to protect the quarterback, to allow for guys to get open downfield. The eyeball test also tells you the defense that they were running. If they were running too high safeties, that's going to take away a lot of the deep stuff. So then you got to go to shorter intermediate. And that pocket was not clean. He was pressured. It felt like on half of his throws, he was pressured.
And it was a great game plan because they were like, all right, you got a new interior line here. You're on the road. Let's not forget that loud crowd. And they're yelling out signals, like Campbell had said, trying to get on the same page. If they play too high safety, forcing them to dink and duck, you know, it was a brilliant game plan by Green Bay. I don't want to overreact to one game, but I will say this: Hank Fraley's got his work cut out for them.
Agree.
Thank God, Sunday's at home.
Yeah. Oh well, the communication that Dan Campbell talked about should be a lot easier with a home crowd. I just looked over at YouTube. Kyle just posted, I think we start 2-5 headed to the bye. Best case at this point, likely 1-6.
Sure hope not.
One and a half wins. I'll take the over for $50, Kyle. I'll take the over on 1.5 wins in the first 7 games. I mean, do you really mean that? Do you really mean it? You'd take the under on 1.5 wins through 7 games? And you say you think they'll likely go 1-6? I mean, it's bold, but you're taking the under on 1.5 wins. Okay, 248-539-9797. It's Carson Anderson. Look, there's lots that needs to get better. Had a conversation with Jared Goff. You'll hear what he had to say today at 1:30, including John Morton. What is it? Is there growing pains to be expected with John Morton? play calling? Is play calling the issue? Is John Morton not being on the field but being in the press box and calling the game from above? Is that the issue? To some of what we covered with Jared Goff, 248-539-9797. Are you going to eat that coming up today at 120 here on 97.1 The Ticket?
It's Boomer and Geo, mornings on The Fan, 101.9 FM.
They're looking for a point guard who's logged a lot of games in the NBA, who is going to run an offense that they trust when Jalen Brunson's on the bench and or if he gets hurt.
Listen to Boomer and Geo on demand on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.